This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here, and this is the final Saturday of September. I'm a little tired this morning. Shouldn't be. Didn't have to drive up, but maybe that's the reason. I stayed overnight here at the Doubletree with Miss Robin, and I want to say good morning, Robin.
Good morning.
She's not...
I was goofing. Sorry.
I know. She's always online doing something. But that's okay. She helped me out this morning. I asked her for something, find something. She found it. She emailed it. Unfortunately, I won't be able to take any texts this morning since she let my phone die last night. Forgot the charger. Forgot the charger. So, anyway, here we are. Last week was interesting. This week was interesting. We pre-recorded next Saturday's show. With on Tuesday of this week. So we had Brian Eiler, who's the Deer Project leader for Maryland, and Bill Miles, who's the advocate for the Maryland Hunting Coalition, in studio. And we talked back and forth for 2 hours, and then we had a guest that called in on the phone, Anthony Licata, who's the editor of both Field & Stream and Outdoor Life magazine, both owned by the same company, Bonnier Corporation. So the magazine that you and I grew up with reading, Field & Stream, Outdoor Life, Sports Afield, and I added Pennsylvania Game News. And of course, Anthony said, yeah, me too. I love Pennsylvania Game News. He's from Pennsylvania somewhere. And so we pre-recorded next week's show. So there will be some things in next week's show that I wasn't sure of on Tuesday that I am sure of now. And one of those is the muzzleloader giveaway for October, November, and December. For the fine folks at CVA. Don't know the model number yet. Don't know what they're going to give away, but I'll take a free muzzleloader anytime.
And I was going to say, if it's free, I don't
know. Yeah, I mean, you know. And here are the rules. You simply call the station, WCBM 680, 410 WCBM 680, or 800 WCBM 680 if you live in Maryland, toll free. And Chris will take your name and phone number. You got to go on the air with me and say, you know, whatever you want to say, ask a question, just say hi, hey, Al, I just want to get the muzzleloader contest, whatever. We don't, you know, or Robin, you can say hi to Robin if you want. You say, boy, I saw a picture of your wife, how pretty she is.
Oh, you are really trying.
I'm working. So anyway, that's how you win a muzzleloader from CVA, and that's always a pleasure to wear. I think we're in our 11th year with them giving muzzleloaders.
That's really cool.
At least. I don't know how. I don't know when the first year was. I know some of the people that have won in the past, but, you know.
I wasn't here for the first.
You weren't here for a long time.
Eight of them.
Yeah, exactly. You've come on the scene a little bit later, but that's okay. I'm enjoying every second of it. So, anyway, what else? Back up a little bit last week, the 4th Annual Maryland Hunting Summit. Roundtable discussion of issues and concerns in the hunting community. Robin, you were there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Diverse group, wasn't it?
Very diverse.
Very diverse. We had
very interesting, eclectic group.
Yeah, we had National Wild Turkey Federation. We had civic society of some kind from Montgomery County. We had Ducks Unlimited. We had Quality Deer Management Association. We had Congressional Sportsman's Foundation. Trying to think who else. Trappers didn't make it. They were supposed to, but they didn't make it.
PCBA would have been there, but they couldn't be there this year.
Yeah, PCBA couldn't make it this year. Maryland Bowhunter Society.
They had one person there, yep.
Yep.
She's very, Very good.
One of their officers. Yes, exactly. Mary Beth. Mary Beth came and testified in Annapolis with us this year. So sharp.
Very I'm glad sharp. She said I couldn't pull her name out.
Mary Beth. I can't say or spell her last name. But
did you do the Donahues? They were there.
Yeah, from Baltimore Fish and Game. Mm-hmm. Protective Association. Baltimore County Fish and Game Protective Association. Yeah, big club here in Maryland. So Wendy was former president of Maryland Sportsman's Association, so she was there. But we had discussed a lot of issues in... did I send you the summary?
No.
I did not. I meant to, but you can read it here. We talked about hunting license requirement for field training. If you are a rabbit dog owner and you want to train your rabbit dogs and you want to go just run them in the off season, you have to have a hunting license to do that. Well, you're going to have one anyway because you are a rabbit hunter. But, Chris, if you wanted to go watch the dogs work, you'd have to have a hunting license in the off season when nobody's hunting anything.
Just to watch them, I'd
yep.
have to have
yes.
a hunting license.
Mm-hmm. Yes. If you want to chase raccoons with no gun,
mm-hmm.
you have to have a hunting license.
But put a horse underneath of you.
Put a horse underneath of you and a bunch of dogs and chase a fox, you don't need a hunting license.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about double standard.
A little bit. Yep. We talked about the importance of promoting solidarity among our ranks in the hunting community.
Yep, that was a very big thing.
Yep. The thing that got a lot of attention was the status of the Atlantic population of Canada geese. And we talked about that on the air. We'll talk more about that next Saturday. But we've got that. The 2018-2019 season in Maryland is 50 days with two birds. Can't be adjusted in terms of reduced bag limits or bird harvest reductions under the federal framework. So we'll have to wait till the 2019-20 season to take any kind of regulated conservation efforts. And we talked about being a voluntary effort. And then some folks with the Upper Bay Gun Club came up with this program called One Bird Limit, which is pretty nice. Now, I think their status is still closed, isn't it, on Facebook? They went from private to public to
closed.
Now they
closed it again, yeah.
They closed it again. I don't know if they got a lot of comments or whatever, but it was a group of people. Now it's up to 450 that have taken a pledge to 450 hunters, goose hunters, waterfowl hunters, which is about 1% have signed on. And, you know, they think that's successful, but it's 1% of the people who have signed on, including myself, that said, you know, we'll only kill one bird. Out in the field, you know. So we talked about the geese. We talked about the three R's, the recruitment, retention, reactivation of hunters, you know, bringing new people in, keeping people that are in the ranks, and then people who have dropped out for whatever reason, access being the biggest one, getting them back in. Additional Sunday hunting opportunities, public hunting areas, 140,000 acres available to public hunting in Maryland. 10 years ago, 44,000. So, deer hunting in Montgomery County, about reduced bag limits from unlimited to 15. The civic people down there thought that was possibly, you know, that was not a good idea, although only one or two people have taken over 15 deer statewide, you know. Talked about hunter education in the public school system, talked about deer management permits, night shooting of deer, nighttime shooting of deer, and then funding for the Natural Resources Police and Wildlife Heritage Service. So we have a summary, and I'm not going to read the whole thing. You just hit the highlights. I just hit the highlights there. It will be on the website eventually, probably this week. I haven't heard back from our web guy yet whether he's been able to put it up there. So, we have to redo the website, kind of bring it up to date. The hunting Eastern Shore dinner is still on there, so that's all over. So that's what happened last week. Now, reading, I get this daily newsletter called The Outdoor Wire, and anybody can subscribe. We were I was reading through it, and it's press releases from states and industry all across the country every day. It comes out during the week. And this one got my attention. Seafood processor pleads guilty to selling foreign crab meat falsely labeled as blue crab. What's that? You show me links.
No, I'm not.
Will you show me?
Down bottom, I wrote you a note.
You wrote me a note. Well, let's see.
He doesn't have his phone. I can't even text him and tell him what to say.
I lost it. Sorry, honey.
Oh, okay.
The seafood processor pleads guilty to selling foreign crab meat falsely labeled as blue crab from the USA. A fellow by the name of James R. Casey of Pequosin, Virginia, pleaded guilty yesterday in federal court in Newport News, Virginia. This was from a couple of days ago, so it was this week. The charges that he led a lucrative conspiracy to falsely label millions of dollars worth of foreign crab meat as product of the USA. Listen to what this guy did. Acting Assistant Attorney General Jeffrey H. Wood of the Justice Department's Environmental and National Resource Division and G. Zachary Terwilliger, the United States Attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia. This did not take place in Maryland. Okay. They talk about the blue crabs and the economic effect and so forth. Mr. Casey conspired to replace Atlantic blue crab with crab meat from Indonesia, China, Thailand, Vietnam, and Central and South America, said U.S. Attorney Terwilliger for the Eastern District of Virginia. Casey falsely labeled nearly 400,000 pounds of crab meat with a retail value in the millions of dollars. This fraud causes real financial harm to the economies here in the region and threatens to tarnish the good name of the watermen who have worked these waters for generations. We're committed to working with our federal and state partners to ensure compliance with the Lacey Act. And we'll talk a little bit about the Lacey Act here in a minute. And to enforce our state's environmental laws that are in place to protect consumers from similar fraud schemes. Seafood fraud undermines the U.S. Casey was the owner and president of Casey's Seafood Incorporated, a wholesale processor of crab meat and other seafood. He pleaded guilty to conspiring with others to substitute foreign crab meat for Atlantic blue crab, and as part of the plea admitted to falsely labeling more than 183 tons of crab meat, and then sold it to grocery stores and independent retailers. Now, he's in Pequosin, Virginia, which is down near Virginia Beach, between Richmond and Virginia Beach. So he's right there in the, what do they call that area? Tidewater area of Virginia. So it talks about then the decline and so forth. Here's what he did. Because of the decline in U.S. crab meat, his company could not and did not process sufficient quantities of Atlantic blue crab to meet customer demands. To make up the shortfall, the co-conspirators used foreign crab meat to fulfill customer orders. During the periods when the company did not process blue crab, which sometimes lasted 3 months, the co-conspirators purchased crab meat, not live crabs, from Indonesia, China, Thailand, Vietnam, and other foreign locales. The crab meat from Indonesia, China, Thailand, and Vietnam included meat from certainly different bunches of crabs. As part of the guilty plea, he further admitted that beginning at least as early as 2010 and continuing through 2015, he directed company employees to unpack foreign crab meat from his suppliers' containers, commingle it with domestic crab and or other types of crab, and repack the crab meat into Casey's Seafood containers, all of which were labeled products of USA. As part of the plea, he admitted that part of the conspiracy to purchase discounted foreign crab meat, some of which was referred to as distressed because it was approaching or beyond its posted best use by dates.
So it's tainted.
Casey admitted to directing company employees to recondition the distressed crab meat by repasteurizing it and then package the reconditioned meat into the company's containers, which were labeled as solid and sold as blue crab and product of the USA. He also directed employees to place labels with the product of USA on the containers that concealed crab, labels marked product of China and product of Brazil.
Does it say anything about the employees? Any charges against them?
No, it's an ongoing case. He's going to be sentenced on January 9th, 2019. The maximum sentence for conspiracy to falsely label crab meat is 5 years in prison and a fine up to half the gross gain of the offense.
Ooh.
That's going to be smart.
Lots of money.
That's going to leave a mark, yeah. How many tons of crab meat?
Lots.
How many tons? Whew. Investigation's continuing.
Good.
Yeah. Yep, prosecution's being handled by the Justice Department. We said all that. Okay. So, there you go. So this guy, he's got a market for crab meat, obviously. Mm-hmm. A good market for crab meat.
Mm-hmm.
For, you know, retailers and restaurants.
For the amount that he moved, yep.
Wow. Well, there's a big market for foreign crab meat. I mean, there is
mm-hmm.
a big market for foreign crab meat. I know we published an article a couple of years ago in the Maryland Loves Crabs magazine about fake crab cakes. There's a company that goes and buys seafood from various restaurants and so forth, and it's a Maryland deal, D.C., Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And they found out that, I don't know how many percent, I can't remember. I guess if you Googled fake crab cakes or something like that, you could find the article. But then they take the crab cakes, you know, and analyze them for what species of crab. I guess they do DNA sampling mm-hmm. on the crabs. And it's some high percentage of crab cakes are not
local.
Well, not even just local. I mean, you know,
yeah,
blue crab.
Overseas.
Yeah, it's
Asian
different
crabs.
Different species. Yeah, so there you go. Well, I don't think we've had any crab cakes in Virginia, have we? Between 2010 and 2015?
Not that I know of.
No.
And I guess I'm not going to be eating one tonight.
Well, we probably.
I know.
I don't think that would be a problem. So. They got the guy.
I know. I was just being.
But have you ever had a crab cake that just kind of tasted off a little bit?
Mm-hmm. All the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a crab cake snob.
Oh, I know you are. I know you are. You like to pick them and do your own thing. I mean, you like to see them come out of the water. Pretty much.
So. I just, to go anywhere out of the state of Maryland and see somebody offer a Maryland crab cake just makes me, I'm
I
like,
know.
Who are you
I've heard so many stories about, this isn't a Maryland crab cake.
It's got red
cake.
And green things in it I've never seen in my life. And,
yeah,
you know.
But I think they put pepper in it.
Yeah, pimento pepper does not make good crab cake.
No.
Sorry if you put it in there, you know.
And they've never even heard of Old Bay or, you know, that type of spice.
That's like the first time I went to South Carolina and they boiled crabs. Not steamed them, boiled them.
Uh-huh.
And it's a whole different...
Oh, yeah, it takes the taste right out of the meat.
Takes the taste out of them, and they're mushy, and... Oh, I was like, are you kidding me?
Well, you know, the famous shrimp and crawfish boils,
mm-hmm.
you know, where they throw them in there in the big tanks, and they boil them with potatoes and corn on the cob
uh-huh.
and heavy spices and things like that. I could probably do that better than I could some of the other stuff that they do, but to me, you know, boiled anything when it comes to seafood just kills it.
Exactly.
Just kills it. So
zaps the taste.
Yeah. So, well, apparently, there's Captain Don on the email.
Yeah,
morning, I'm in New England. Have shared a picture of the big catfish with some local anglers. Catfish are called horned pout up here, and one guy told me it's a wolffish. I never heard of these names. Have you? Yeah, it's not a horned pout, and it's not a wolffish. It's a channel catfish. But
well, up there they also call a soda pop. So
yeah, they do call soda.
And
pop. I call soda pop in Western Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Bottle pop. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I think up there, they instead of calling them subs, they call them poor boys or something like that. Or maybe I'm thinking that's down south, and up there they call them hoagies or something. But everybody,
well,
every
subs have several names. Grinders.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Hoagies. Subs.
Poor boys.
See, again, growing up, sheltered life in western Pennsylvania, when we went to New Jersey on vacation, somebody said, let's get subs for dinner. I was, huh?
My stomach's not that big.
No idea what a sub was. But anyway. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Good time to call in while we're taking our first commercial break. Get your name in on the list for the muzzleloader. Call in. Leave your name and phone number. And go on the air with me or Robin, and you are qualified to win a beautiful muzzleloader from the folks at, fine folks at CVA, Connecticut Valley Arms, BPI, Black Powder Incorporated. While you do that, I'm going to do this. For almost 10 years, hunters have relied on Onyx to help navigate public and private land boundaries across the country. Onyx Hunt is the only tool comprised of over 400 countrywide maps that give clear private and public land boundaries, trails, hunting-specific data, and more. New map layers are constantly being added by pairing with some of the leading names in conservation and the outdoor industry, like the National Wild Turkey Federation and Quality Deer Management Association. Whether it's on your smartphone or on your handheld GPS, make the most of your precious time in the field by navigating with Onyx Hunt. Hey, down there at Chesapeake Outdoors, they are ready to welcome you. The good old Hoyt bows are still on sale. And if you're into the bow hunting, the Matthews compound bows, coupled with all these other brands of crossbows, like Barnett, Mission 10 Point, Carbon Express, Excalibur, and Raven, will make your day. All the custom arrows, bow tuning, and accessories, too. Firearms and ammunition for everything you want to hunt, from Remington and Choppa and others. Muzzleloaders, accessories from CVA, Thompson Center. Costa sunglasses, Yeti coolers, Big Bubba knives, Rambo electric bikes, Bandit, and Scentlock apparel. All at Chesapeake Outdoors, right there, Route 50 East, exit 39B, Dominion Road, on Ken Island, Maryland. That phone number, 410-604-2500, 604-2500. What was that? For Chesapeake Outdoors.
Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie Spray-On Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Bedliners rated number one, carry nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner or the Linex Extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards. You get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner, truck gear, and accessories. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford, 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Linex.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233. Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680, WCBM.
Well, in North Carolina, way back in the hills, lived my old pappy and he had him a steel. He brewed white lightning till the sun went down. Then he'd fill him a jug and he'd pass it around. Mighty, mighty pleasing, Pappy Storm squeezing. Ooh, white lightning,
white lightning. I think we're going to go on the white lightning tour, aren't we?
G-Man, G-Man,
right. Little George Jones. Let's see. We have two callers here. We have Mark in Towson, and then we have John in Baltimore. Good morning, Mark. How are you,
Good
sir?
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well.
Good. Really frustrating not having a charger with you.
It is. Yes. No question.
May I make a suggestion?
Buy one?
Well, that's one alternative, but yes. I've got a better idea that works for me.
What's that?
I have a power bank, and they're not real expensive.
Okay.
It's just a great big external battery.
Right.
And they're not that big. Size of a wallet.
Yeah.
And you can, depending on the capacity of the power bank, 10,000 or above, you can recharge a phone or even a tablet many times before it has to be recharged.
I carry one of those little compact models. I think Duracell makes one and a couple others.
And the benefit is you don't have to look for a plug all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, good idea. Good idea. We all have one of those in the car. The car
makes sense.
Yeah, the car will charge. We just keep one in the bag. That's all. I can't find mine from my hunting pack, but I usually have when I'm prepared to hunt. I usually have one of those power packs in my thing. When my phone service goes down, I just plug that thing in and everything works.
Yeah, which it's a great deal. They're handy.
They're
small.
Much.
They're not heavy.
Yep.
And like I said, you don't need to search around all the time for an outlet.
And I know where I can get one. Battery Warehouse.
Yes, you can.
Battery Warehouse.
And you'll get a good one there.
Yeah, no question.
Yeah.
Yep, very good.
Okay.
Good suggestion. Thank you, Mark.
You guys have a great week.
You do the
same. And enjoy next weekend.
We will. Thank you.
Okay.
Take care, buddy. Bye-bye. John in Baltimore, thank you. How are you this morning?
Hey, Alan, how are you doing?
I'm good, man. What's going on?
Well, I've spoken to you once before. I'm an avid listener whenever I can, and I'm not a hunter and I'm not a fisherman, but I need some help. I'm ready to buy a muzzle loader, specifically an Enfield 58 caliber reproduction Civil War musket.
Wow, okay.
Well, it scares the crap out of me because I can fire military weapons and all this, but I'm not sure of this thing yet. But my main question is, how is that licensed in the state of Maryland?
It is not. You don't have to worry about it. Just buy it.
Okay, how do I buy black powder? Because I don't need a ton of it. I just need some that I can
buy. Well, you can buy it by the pound, and you can go to your local sporting goods dealer. You can go to Clyde Sport Shop. And
I was thinking of Clyde's. Now, one more question. I'm not your average dummy. I'm your above-average dummy.
Above-average dummy. Okay, good.
Or idiot. You can put whatever you want there. Can I find somebody to teach me how to fire this weapon?
Yes, you can.
Because the last time I fired weapons were after Vietnam, and that's it.
I hear you. I would recommend you go to one of the local shooting ranges. When's your imminent purchase of this thing?
Well, I'm getting ready to put the order in now because it's supposed to come from overseas, and I don't even know if this comes directly to me or goes to a gun shop or anything.
No, it should come directly to you, being a black powder gun.
Okay.
Not a black powder gun, but a muzzle-loading firearm. It should come.
Right, that's what this is, right?
Well, see, that's the beauty of giving a muzzle loader away from CVA. You win the contest, I ship it right to your house.
Well, what I did is I told your guy, he's a good guy, your producer, whatever, if I was ever to win that, which I doubt, I don't win things, I'd give it to you to give to some deserving kid or something, because I'm looking at this weapon, I'm getting like, it's a piece of art, I can't believe the pictures I'm seeing, I can't wait to get my hands on it.
Got it.
And I mean, I'll give you real quick, I'll give you an equivalent of what I consider this to sit it next to is an M1 or an M14.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And that's me, you know, just
sure.
Me. I think they're killer weapons. That's what they're made for, but, I mean, they're beautiful weapons.
Yep, they are, indeed. Well, and if you can find – well, here's what I want to tell you. Go to any gun range, but visit before you get your firearm. Baltimore Game and Fish Protective Association is one. A fellow by the name of Butch is the guy that would be more than glad to help you up there. And if you have email, John?
Yeah.
Email me ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. I may not be able to get to you right away, but I will get to you. Ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. That's it. Yeah, ELLIS. And I will give you a couple of references, but contact Baltimore County Fish and Game, Associated Gun Clubs, go to the Hap Baker Range at the landfill in Carroll County. and talk to some of the range people there and say, look, this is what I've got. You may inspire some of these guys to just say, hey, you bring that thing up here anytime, and I'll be more than glad to show you what to do with it. So.
Because I'll be honest, you can laugh at me if you want. I know what the kick of a 12 gauge is, an M14,
yeah.
I've heard about all those things. I've heard it's actually more of a push than like a kick. I don't know. I have no idea.
Now, the black powder gun you shouldn't have to worry about too much. Just don't overload it. I mean, a reproduction, I certainly wouldn't overload it and go with the manufacturer's specification.
No, I'm not going to do that. No. Yeah. I'm probably going to turn it over to my cousin, let him get a couple deer on it and all that, because I heard it's a good deer weapon if you can handle it.
Sure.
I don't know.
Sure. Very
all right,
good.
Look, I'm going to leave you with one thing. I thank God for Robin after all you went through.
Well, I appreciate that.
thank you,
John. Appreciate
Robin, I don't know how you put up with this guy, but besides the point, if you're an angel to him, and I'm telling you, praise God for that, and I pray for you guys.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I kind of wonder how I do, too, but it works out well.
And the other thing with a crab cake, I'm picky like you. I'm German. So, Alan, I want to thank you today, and how do I get your newsletter?
For the Hunting Coalition, just go online and join it.
That's what I'll do, dude.
Free to do, yep, mdhuntingcoalition.org, and you should find a little link there to join and just sign up with your email address. We don't sell your emails or do anything like that. It's just...
Oh, I believe that.
You know, it's just an email that comes out and says, this is what's happening. These are the events.
I'm leaving. I really enjoy when you talk about kids and the hunting courses and all that. Look, God bless you guys. Hang in there and keep us all straight, man.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
All right, bye.
All right, John. Thanks. Very nice call. Thank you very much.
I like him.
Yep. You know, I forgot something last week, and it's very important, and I apologize profusely. Tackle Box Tim Sherman donated a 10-pack of handmade lures that he painted and crafted. There were spinners in there, spinner baits in there that he selected the skirts for, you know, and really, really did a great job. He typed up a sheet with all the baits. He custom painted crankbaits and lipless crankbaits and jerkbaits and put them all in a tackle box and gave them to us.
You got that. That was somebody was really excited about.
Guy was excited about it. He was a bass fisherman, so we put him on the auction at the benefit, and I think we got a little over $100 for him, if I remember right.
I thought it was a little more than that.
Might have been. I don't know. But Tim Sherman Tackle Box, I appreciate that, and I apologize.
They were gorgeous, Tim.
Apologize for letting you out of the people that I thanked last week. Just the list was pretty long. The Lacey Act. I mentioned the Lacey Act. This seafood processor was charged under the Lacey Act. It's very simple. Under the Lacey Act, it's unlawful to import, export, sell, acquire, or purchase fish, wildlife, or plants that are taken, possessed, transported, or sold, number one, in violation of U.S. or Indian law, number two, in interstate or foreign commerce involving any fish, wildlife, or plants taken or possessed or sold in violation of the state or foreign law. Pretty simple. Okay? You cannot catch largemouth black bass in the Potomac River, bring them into Maryland, keep them in a pond, net them out of the pond, and sell them to New York State. Can't do that. That's a violation of the Lacey Act. Okay? You cannot go to New Brunswick or anywhere in Canada and kill a black bear, harvest its organs like its gall, and bring it back to the United States and sell it. You can't do that. That is a federal violation of the Lacey Act. It is one of the strongest poaching prevention tools that we have in this country. You can't buy crab meat from Vietnam, Thailand, Brazil, South America, Central America, bring it back to the United States, reprocess it, mix it with blue crab, relabel it as product of the U.S., and then sell it. You can't do it. I mean, you can if you want to try and get away with it, and apparently this guy made a lot of money in 4 or 5 years that he did that, but, you know.
But now he's got to pay it all back.
Yeah, he got to pay it all back.
So but he didn't make anything.
Well, he didn't, and he may be serving jail time. So, can't imagine. If you're just trying to earn a paycheck and you see what is going on and you gotta know
Well, see, that's why I was asking about the employees.
Employees, yeah. No, I didn't see any employees get charged. You know, I mean, they're at your direction.
Because in theory, they would be accessories or co-conspirators.
Well, here's the thing, though, okay? Most of the crab pickers are not from inside the U.S., okay? They are documented foreign workers. They are agricultural workers or...
Yeah, so you're right, they won't know.
Yeah, they may not know that what they were doing was wrong. So. 410-922-6680. If you want to get in on the muzzleloader contest, you're certainly welcome to do that. And we'll be glad to take your phone call and get you in the contest. Let's see. Here is Theodore. Yeah, that's right, Isaac Walton League. That's a wonderful black powder class. Poolsville is where I took my class. Yeah, I took mine in Howard County. I don't know if I still have my card. I got my hunter safety card, and I have my national bow hunting course card somewhere. Yeah. No, I have email, John. It's...
Yeah, you've got them. They're just packed away someplace.
What's that, my cards?
Yes.
Yeah, I saw one on the floor the other day. I saw my hunter safety card on the floor the other day. I had no idea how it got there, and I think I know. But I do. But, my national bow hunting education card, which I've had for years and years, was with my hunter safety card. Let's hope they're both still intact.
On the floor?
No, that was, I don't know. We'll find it. It's there. It was. So... Moving out of a house after 30 years is sometimes very stressful and mind-blowing.
Oh, I know. So is having somebody move into your house after all these years.
Well, that's true, too. Yeah, that's true, too. So.
And now trying to clean my house out.
Yeah, I know.
This has been a
this is
challenge.
An ongoing hangnail.
That's a good way to put it.
Thank you. Thank
Probably
you.
Better than I would have.
Yeah, I know. Hey, there's Captain Don. I wish I had my phone. Google horned pout.
I got it.
P-O-U-T.
Horned what?
Pout, P-O-U-T.
I am your Google baby.
Yeah, a wolffish is a wolffish. Has sharp teeth.
Pout.
P-O-U-T. Hey, Captain Don.
Hey, good morning.
How are you? By the way, Miss Fran was very grateful to you for taking care of her ticket.
That's what it was all about.
Indeed. Yes, indeed. So.
Nice lady.
Yes, very nice.
So. She came out bullhead.
Bullhead? Ah.
Brown bullhead.
Okay.
Here.
Brown.
Oh, you're talking about those.
The horned pout, yeah.
They've never seen a regular catfish up here, but they talk about these pouts. Catfish.
Yeah, that would be a bullhead catfish.
Uh-huh.
What you have is a channel catfish, a wholly different species. But I grew up catching bullheads. Oh man. My dad and I
go ahead. Channel catfish are fun. So what you were catching? Hey, I'm getting a lot of feedback for some reason. I hear myself talking, and that's why I'm kind of a little messed up here.
Okay, sorry about that. You are coming through here loud and clear.
Okay.
I don't know what Chris says. Nothing. Oh. So it's in the transfer.
Okay.
Yeah. But you're in a foreign state.
95 and drive back to Maryland early this morning, but I'm too tired.
I don't blame
you. Wait a little bit.
Sure.
We know that feeling.
Sure. What's your time frame? How long does it take?
Depending on what goes on in New York and if there's any construction in Connecticut, I could probably do it in six and a half hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my daughter and her friends just drove to Maine, and Connecticut killed them. She said worse than New York this time.
Yeah, and every once in a while, Rhode Island, if they have construction going on there, that's a hassle too. But the main thing to look out for is on 95 is the Bronx going through New York.
Yep.
And I've been going through the Tappan Zee Bridge, which is now called the, I think the Mario Cuomo Bridge now.
Well, that's enough to make you want to puke.
Don't get me started. Listen, Look where I'm calling from.
Exactly.
I'm calling from the land of the Kennedys and
Hiawatha
and all
that. That's true. Yeah.
Yes, and I'm not on the same page with my family up here.
No, no.
They are dyed-in-the-wool Democrats. So.
Sure.
Not to get too
bad. Speaking of those folks on the other side of the aisle, they definitely made an impression on a lot of us in the country this past week, didn't they?
Yes.
I refuse to talk politics in the House because I just get so tired of it. I actually sat there and watched the whole thing, and I don't do that, okay? And I couldn't turn it off. I don't know why I could not make myself turn it off.
Riveting Twitter.
Yeah.
I don't know if you call it riveting or I was just getting ready to throw something through it.
Yeah.
A lot of people felt the same way. They just couldn't turn their... It was like a car wreck.
Yeah, it was like a car wreck.
It was.
Yeah, exactly.
That's perfect.
So.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, I hope to be in the water tonight. Well, on my boat in the water
tonight,
and hopefully it'll be a striper instead of a catfish.
There you go.
Sounds wonderful.
Well, we'll be back. We'll be back.
I'm gonna be fishing soon.
Yeah, I hope so.
It's time.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, I'll be over on the Eastern Shore tomorrow. One of my former co-workers has a farm over there.
Nice.
A farm. Over here in Denton.
We will be far, far away.
Yeah, we're headed south tomorrow, or today, actually. Yeah. We'll be in Gatlinburg this week, so.
There you go.
Yeah.
Never been to Tennessee. I'm excited.
I went through Tennessee on the way to Florida, but that's all I remember, that it was something,
yeah.
Place we
saw. Gatlinburg's a lot of fun.
Good. Can't wait.
If you have any good ideas or tips, email them to Alan, please.
Okay, well, we did a whitewater rafting trip on the river over there, and I can't remember the name of the river, but
there you go, Robin.
Through the Smoky Mountains.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to do this.
Well, Julian, be safe.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you.
And be careful on your way through, and say hi to Mario Cuomo when you cross his bridge, will you?
Okay.
Thanks, buddy. See ya. Why would they take the beautiful Tappan Zee Bridge and rename it?
Did they really? I didn't hear what bridge it was when he started.
Tappan Zee.
I always like that name.
Yeah,
I know. Name.
I mean, I hate the area, but I like the name of the bridge, Tappan Zee.
It just kind of flows.
Well, it's kind of, Tappan Zee is kind of when you get there, you kind of think, well, I'm halfway to Maine or what, you know,
right.
It's a halfway kind of a thing. It's like, wow, I'm across Tappan Zee. Now I got to go through Brooklyn and it's all good, you know, from here on out. But is what it is.
The world is changing.
Yes, it is. So, oh, mercy, 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 mercy. So it was a busy week. A lot of things happened since our summit. Some things that we have been working on. Let me read this one little thing here. Deer management permits. You know, we talked about this, but finally we got a number. After we talked to Leon in Lutherville. Leon, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
How are you?
Doing well. Love the show.
Thank you.
I lived over in Vietnam for the past, you know, 5 years or so, and we go to the beach a lot, and the crabs over there, they have, I don't know what kind they are. They're not blue crabs, but they got the, like, little circles on the shell.
Yeah, they're pretty, actually.
Yeah, they're pretty. They're beautiful. But over there, if you close your eyes and you eat them without seasoning, they taste exactly like blue crabs. And I crab over here. I got boat. I got, crab pots and classic
right,
crab.
Right.
It is almost identical to taste if done properly.
Well, that's good.
If it was done properly, that'd be great.
Yeah. but from Maryland. You know what you're doing. Well, I can tell you that at one point, domestic crab meat for a large seafood company here in Baltimore that has a giant location in Baltimore Harbor, Baltimore Inner Harbor, Washington Harbor, and so forth. I think that the domestic crab only makes up about 26% of their entire crab meat market.
Well, I'd be fine if it was done correctly. I mean,
right.
Sold correctly. And they marked it. Make sure you mark it all the time. Don't try to pass it off as something else. I'll eat it, but don't mark it something different.
We have a seafood dealer that loves Venezuela crab meat.
Oh, yes, he does. He absolutely loves it.
It's great.
And we love his crab cakes, so we must love it.
Yeah. So, but But, you know, when you know, that's one thing. When you don't know and it's been reprocessed and repasteurized and past the due date and all that stuff, that's just wrong.
How did you end up living in Vietnam for the last 5 years?
Just went over there to teach and just ended up really liking it. Now I moved back, and I definitely miss it. But over there, they have a constant problem with labeling the food, and everything's unregulated, so they spray their vegetables with chemicals, and then that's a big problem over there. They don't know where they get their food, and a lot of it comes from China. And they'll even inject their meat with, you know, special hormones to make it last longer. They have chemicals where they'll dump certain meats in there, and it'll change the color and taste. So it's a big problem over there. People are not happy with the food quality.
I can't imagine why. I guess you just got to be careful what you do and be aware of your surroundings, you know, and what's going on with that. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I can imagine going to the market and processing your own chickens, you know, or you know, like you said, catching your own crabs and that type of thing. But God, what's going in the water over there? Can't imagine.
Yeah, but even the water is pretty polluted over there. The rivers are just shot because the government it's still one of the only communist governments in the world, socialist republic, and they run the water treatment facilities is more expensive than for the companies to pay the fine. It's pretty bad. So, and the people have no power over there. They have no voice. So they can't do anything about it.
So your recommendation when you get back here in the States is not to buy into the socialist rhetoric. Is that correct?
This is correct.
All right.
I'll tell you a quick story if I have time. My wife's family, they're farmers, but they came a good breed, you know. They're smart, and when the communists took over, they said, well, we work hard, and we take time, and we raise our pigs the right way. We get the good breed, we fatten them up the right way, we don't do quick food. So when it came time to slaughter, all the peasants would come by and say, oh, now you have to give us your good breed, and you have to eat our bad one.
Right.
So they combat my wife's grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
Combated this by when it was time to slaughter the pigs, he would take a branding iron or a little piece of metal, and he would nick the corner of the pig's mouth.
Right.
So that a week before slaughter time, this thing would go lame and wouldn't eat, and everyone in the village would say, "Oh, old man, you know, River's got the bad pig, won't even eat. It's disease. You keep your dirty pig."
Oh, nice. I hear you. Well, Leon, you got to do what you got to do. At least they found a way around the system. But when you give government control of everything, that's the end of society. So
you got that right.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate the call.
All right, have a good day.
Good luck. Thank
Bye
you.
Bye now.
Bye bye. Hey, for almost 10 years, hunters have relied on Onyx to help navigate public and private land boundaries across the country. Onyx Hunt is the only tool comprised of over 400 countrywide maps that give clear private and public land boundaries, trails, hunting specific data, and more. New map layers are constantly being added by pairing with some of the leading names in conservation and the outdoor industry, like the National Wild Turkey Federation and Quality Deer Management Association. Whether it's on your smartphone or on your handheld GPS, make the most of your precious time in the field by navigating with Onyx Hunt. Hey, let's not forget about Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. If you need a new firearm, well, they've got the Browning. They're the full-line Browning dealer here in Maryland, and that's for sure. There's the BPS pump that comes in all gauges, 10 down to 410, and everything in between. I'm talking about 410, 28, 2016, 12, and 10-gauge models. 12 and 20-gauge deer models available for a pump shotgun with bottom ejection and camo. You're going to love it. There's the AB3 Hunter, the outstanding big game value package with a wood or a synthetic stock. Comes prepackaged with a Nikon Buckmaster 4-12x40 BDC rifle scope. Comes in 243, 308, 270, 30-06, 7mm, 08, 7mm Remington mag, and 300 Win mag. It's the best package rifle you can buy. And there's much more from Browning and much more from Clyde Sports Shop at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. That phone number, 410-242-6108, 410-242-6108, 24-hour fishing hotline, 247-FISH.
WCBM, Baltimore.
Well, a pretty good-looking forecast for the next few days for today. Enjoy it while you can. A lot of sunshine. Get out there. It's a beautiful day with high 75. Now, tonight, partly cloudy, 55. Tomorrow, more of the same. Good bit of sunshine. A few passing clouds, 75. The afternoon high. Kicking off the work week, Monday, good bit of sun, so a few clouds again passing by with a high 78. And then by Tuesday, mostly cloudy, highs upper 70s. I'm Craig Ross from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bed liner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex. New location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linex. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We'll let it go this time. Get out, stay out, stay safe.
Stay connected with stimulating talk and breaking news on Talk Radio 680 WCBM, Baltimore, and WCBM.com.